sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
And Father, today I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your love. And Father, I thank you for all that you've done in our lives. And Father, I ask now your blessing, your anointing, Father, upon this word as it goes forth. For I've asked it now in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Last year, some changes took place in my life and ministry, ones that quite honestly, I hadn't been looking forward to, but I knew probably the day would come that some changes would have to be made. As a result of this, my wife and I were left in the position of looking for a new church home, a place that we could attend and be a part of and enjoy the blessings of God and all that goes along with being a member somewhere, part of a church body. And I want to say, if you're listening to me today and you're not part of a local church body somewhere, you're missing out. You're missing out on something that God has planned for you and intended for you. And I hope that you will find that place to go to. Because I attend a fellowship meeting of pastors in the area, I thought that we would attend various churches over a period of a couple of months and decide where it was that God would have us to go. You know, it's hard to go out and find a new place. I'll be honest with you. It's hard to go out and find a new place when you've been at the same church for 12 years or longer. And I know it's tough sometimes when you've got to do that. And we were visiting this one church, and the pastor recognized me from the meetings that we jointly attend. And he spoke a word of knowledge to me at that time, saying it was time for a new chapter in my life. Or I guess you could say it was a time of new beginnings. And God's been dealing with me over the last several weeks and about a message that I really wasn't quite sure how it was going to come together. I wanted to call it a new chapter was the first title that I had for the message. And as I was seeking God this week, I felt that the title should be New Beginnings. And I want to start here with Genesis chapter 6 in the Bible. And you can't get much further back than that. But here in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, it says this: "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And verse 6 says then, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Now, the Holman Christian Standard Bible reads verse 6 this way: "The Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." Think about this. Time frame wise, we're only looking at roughly about 1,000 years since God created Adam and Eve in the garden. And all of these things have taken place. It says that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart, it was only evil continuously. You know, when you have a family member or a friend that you see that's doing something wrong and they're not doing what they should do and behaving like a good person. It can grieve your heart sometimes. Well, think how much God looked at this and his creation has become this way. Such a horrible thing it must have been. And it says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. All he did was think evil things. And I want to stop here for just a minute because I want you to stop and think about the world today. And what we're seeing on a worldwide scale is evil. The thoughts of man are evil. I know we have groups out there that we're fighting against, groups such as ISIS and ones that seek to kill people just because they don't agree with them. In fact, they don't even agree with themselves and they kill each other. And we look at that and we think how horrible that is. Well, think about it now back in the days that we're talking about here in chapter 6. That their hearts were only thinking evil. By the way, the Bible tells us in the New Testament, it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And I think we're seeing that same evil today take place as it was in the days of Noah. All the sins, all the evil imagination, all the thoughts that were taking place back then are present in the world today. But it says in verse 8, though, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Think about this. I don't know how many people were on the face of the earth at that time. I know some people have made estimations of what they have thought it could be and all of that. And it was a large number of people, not nearly like what we have today, but a large number of people. And God finds one person that is not participating in all of this. And I know some of you might ask, just who was this Noah character? And we're told that he was the son of Lamech and the grandson of Methuselah, a descendant of Seth, the third son of Adam, which you can find referred to in Genesis chapter 5, verses 3 through 20. And Lamech named his son Noah, a name that sounds like a Hebrew term that can mean relief or comfort. And when Lamech gave him that name, he said, may he bring us relief from our work and the painful labor of farming this ground that the Lord has cursed. And this comment is found in the complete book of Who's Who in the Bible. Well, the story of Noah goes on through Genesis chapter 10. And we find after God has told Noah that he's going to destroy the earth by water, that he's going to send this flood. And this is something that they've never seen before. Nothing like this has ever occurred in their history. God tells Noah how to build this big boat, which we refer to as the ark in the Old Testament, and that he and his family will be spared. Noah spends 100+ years telling people that God is going to bring judgment and gets not one convert out of the whole group. If you go on and you read the story, and most people who've heard anything about the Bible are familiar with the story of Noah and the ark and the great flood that God sent and how that changed the entire history of the world. So Noah went from living in a world that was in such horrible shape that God regretted that he'd even created man, to essentially becoming the father of a new beginning, a new era. Because it is through the descendants of Noah that you and I are here today. And I know that genealogically we can go back, and we're not going to get into that. We can go back and even trace which groups on the earth today go back to which one of Noah's children and so on. But a new era was created, a new beginning, a new life, a new challenge was taking place. Then approximately 2,000 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, a man by the name of Jacob came along. And his story begins in Genesis chapter 25 and really goes almost through the entire rest of the book of Genesis. And we find that this man, Jacob, had a twin brother named Esau. And as we read the story of Jacob here in the book of Genesis, we find that he's a conniver. He's somewhat of a cheat. He does some things that just absolutely are not right. Now, if you read the story of his birth, you find, as I said, he was a twin, and he came out grasping the heel of his brother Esau, and part of his name means that he who grabbed the heel. And the prophecy was that he would supplant his brother. And as we read the story then in chapter 25 of verses 29 through 34, we find his brother Esau, who is a hunter, and Jacob's more to stay at a home, farmer type character, and totally different lifestyles here. And his brother comes home and he's hungry, he's starving, and thinks he's about to die. I don't know, probably every one of us at some point in our life have maybe felt a little hungry. And there may be some of you that are listening to me in some part of the world today that you've reached that point that you were about to starve to death, and you know exactly how Esau at least thought he felt. As a result, he gets his brother to sell him his birthright for a bowl of lentils or bowl of beans and some bread. Now, Esau at the time thought, what's good is the birthright going to do me? I'm going to die. I'm going to starve to death. Probably doesn't think a whole lot more about it until roughly 20 years later, his father is about to die. And he's partially blind, or if not all the way blind. And we find that he's about to give the blessing, and he's going to bless Esau, as would be the case because Esau was the oldest. But we find here, with the help of his mother, that Jacob pulls again a deception, deceives his father, and ends up getting the blessing. As a result, he has to flee the country. And then we find in chapter 29, he's fled the country. He's living back in the land that his ancestors came from. And find in chapter 29, he's fallen in love. Oh, he's found the woman of his dreams. He goes to her father. He wants to marry her. His father says, well, you got to work for me for 7 years. After 7 years, you can have her. Okay, that's the deal. I'm going to work here for 7 years. I'm going to get this love of my life. And we're going to live happily ever after. Well, 7 years comes to an end. The wedding takes place. The veil is removed. And guess what? His now father-in-law has deceived him and passed off the older sister, who was still unmarried, in place of the woman he loved. He then, we're told, has to work another 7 years to finally get the woman that he loves. He's a deceiver, and he's now been deceived. Then we find, approximately 20 years after he's come to the country, that he and his two wives and all of his possessions are on their way back to Canaan. Where in chapter 32, verses 24 through 31, we find that he wrestles with an angel, and there his name is changed from Jacob to Israel, which means having power with God. Having power with God. So let's look a moment here at this man that up to this point we've called Jacob. And he's been a con man. He's been a deceiver. He's done some things that were not right. But now he's had a meeting with an angel of the Lord. And he's facing a new beginning in his life. A beginning that is going to change things for the rest of history. His name, even though God changes it here to Israel, we hear the word Israel today, he's still known to most folks still as Jacob when we refer to it. Even the Jews, when they refer to him, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's revered among the descendants that are alive today as one of the founders of their people. And we find here that he has some sons. And his youngest son at the time, Joseph, hated by his brothers because he's dad's favorite. He's got that coat of many colors that dad had made special for him. He tells them the dreams that he has and how he's going to become someday a mighty man and what God is going to do in his life. And jealousy reigns throughout the family. And one day, they decide to kill him. Another brother decides, hey, instead of killing him, let's sell him into slavery. And so Joseph is sold into slavery by his brothers. Think about that, being sold into slavery by your own family members. And I want to jump to our time right now because there are things like that happening today. There is human trafficking going on in the world today. There is sex trafficking going on in the world today. And sometimes it is family members who are involved in it. I want you to think about it. It's horrible. But he's sold into slavery by his family. We find him now in slave in Egypt. We find that he spends some time in jail because somebody lied about him. Potiphar's wife told lies on him. Later on, he emerges as the one who can interpret the dream that Pharaoh has had. And as a result, becomes second only to Pharaoh in the kingdom of Egypt. Later is able to bring his family into Egypt, where they are provided for during the great drought that goes on throughout the land. God had given Joseph a dream of how to prepare for this drought that was going to take place. And as a result, his entire family was brought into Egypt, and refuge for his family was provided. We find, as we read the Bible and the story that goes on there, that his family and their descendants for over a period of 400 years live in Egypt. During this time, it says that there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And because of the size and blessings that this group of people had, he became jealous, he became envious, and decided to eliminate them. And part of the decision was that they would kill all the babies, male children, that were born unto the Israelites. We find there, as we go into the book of Exodus, the story of a baby named Moses. And we find that his mother hides him. He's found by Pharaoh's daughter. As a result, he goes from being the baby of a Hebrew slave to being raised as the son of Pharaoh's daughter in the palace of Egypt. Spends 40 years of his life living in the lap of luxury, getting the best education the world could afford at that time. But we find then at the end of 40 years, he's now on the run. He has killed an Egyptian who was abusing one of Moses' own group of people. And we find he's now got a new beginning. It's not what most people would want, because he's out in the backside of the desert. He's now a shepherd. He's now not got the best of everything. But we also find he has another new beginning takes place in his life when he looks out one day and sees a bush burning in the desert and it's not consumed. And like most people, he goes to find out what's going on. And as he walks up, voice speaks to him from out of the midst of that burning bush and said, "Take off your shoes, Moses, because you're standing on holy ground." You know, I'm thankful today that God still gives some of us that type of experience today, when we can come into the house of God and we can have that meeting with God and we can have that holy ground experience in our life. Oh, it's fantastic. It's beyond our imagination when we have a holy ground experience. I think back to the time, the night that I went down to the altar and gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. And as I've told people many times, I was raised in church. And I knew more than a lot of born-again Christians knew about the Bible. But one night, I realized I didn't know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I walked down to the altar. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And that night, I believe with all my heart that I had a holy ground experience. Because all I remember is being in the presence of God's Holy Spirit. I couldn't tell you how long, but I know it was for a period of at least 1 to 2 hours. I knew nothing of what was going on around me because I was in the presence of God's Holy Spirit. I had a new beginning that night, just as Moses had a new beginning when he stood before the burning bush. So Moses goes from being a member of royalty to being a shepherd on the backside of the desert to going into leading God's people out of bondage, to taking them back to the promised land, to being one of the greatest men of God of the Old Testament times. A man that is still revered today by his people. And there are many other stories in the Bible of people who had those new beginning experiences. For example, there was David, who went from being a shepherd boy to a hero when he slew Goliath. Then from being anointed king to fleeing for his life. All of these new beginning experiences Sometimes a new beginning is not necessarily the experience that we think it's going to be. But all of these things shaped him. He went from that then to the palace, being recognized as the greatest king of Israel, and that through his lineage, Messiah would come. And every one of us has had our ups and downs in life. You read the story of David, he had his ups and downs. Shepherd boy, to being in the palace, married to the king's daughter, to on the run because the king wanted to kill him, back to the palace as king, to losing a child because of a sin that he had committed, yet being a man that is recognized, a man after God's own heart. Oh, he had some beginnings there. He had some new beginnings, some good, some bad. And we all have them. Here's what God's Word has to say about mankind. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." I don't care how good you are, how exemplary a life you have led. God's Word tells us we were born in sin. We are all sinners. Now that's not getting off to a very good start, is it? And some of you might be saying, well, hey, I'm on top of things. I'm enjoying life. I had a person tell me one time, I do good deeds. I do good things. And he pointed out at a particular preacher and he said, I do better things than some of the stuff he does. And I haven't done some of the things that he's done. I'm surely okay. But he was a sinner, born in sin. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 25 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And sometimes these things that we seem to be enjoying so much are the pleasures of sin. And a lot of people say, oh, life is so good. But many times it's something that the Bible tells us is sin. But we're having a good time. God wants you to have a new beginning. He really does. He wants you to have a change in your life. He wants you to have that new beginning. Romans chapter 5, verse 17 says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus came and gave his life a sacrifice for your sin that you could have a new beginning. I want you to think about it. That's the whole reason Jesus came. That's the whole reason he died on the cross, was that he could pay the sacrifice for your sin and that you could have a new beginning. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7 says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. He wants you to have that new beginning today. And if you've not already done so, if you've not already accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can have that new beginning. When you ask Him into your heart and your life, you can have it today. And if you've not done so, please do so right now. Just simply ask Jesus to come into your heart, to cleanse you from your sin. He'll do so if you'll just ask Him. And Father, today I ask for anyone that might be listening today, whether it's by CD, whether it's by the internet, or some other means, Father, I just pray, Father, if they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, Father, that you will give them that new beginning that they need in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship.